Good morning, Newville. I will first read the quote inside the devotional, and then I'll be reading from Exodus 20. I'll be reading the Decalogue. If you'd like to just listen, that's fine. I'll be reading from the Holman Christian Standard if you do want to follow along. First of all, the quote, 1 John 3:14-15. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. Exodus 20. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Do not have other gods besides me. Do not make an idol for yourself, whether in the shape of anything in the heavens above or on the earth below or in the waters under the earth. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the father's sin to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing faithful love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will punish anyone who misuses his name. Remember to dedicate the Sabbath day. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the foreigner who is within your gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and declared it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or female slave, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. May God bless that reading of his word.
So if you can keep your devotionals handy and you turn to the back of those, please, because that's what we'll be talking about. And also, I want you to be mindful of the quote on the inside. Keep both of those handy. And maybe grab a pencil. Liz had you X something out with your pencil, so hang on to that pencil. Because we're talking about eternal life and experiencing eternal life. And this passage, this exchange between Jesus and this young man, that's what this is all about. It's about Jesus trying to explain eternal life. And this man having a concept of eternal life, which you all have, and which this man's concept of eternal life was wrong. And for us to understand this, we have to understand a basic concept. Now, Tad is a teacher. He teaches calculus and other math subjects. And Tad might ask his teacher, this is how you're going to understand this passage. Tad might ask his students, have you been studying? Well, everybody's going to say yes. Have you been studying? Yes. Are you doing the unseen things at home that I've been telling you to do? Yes. Well, how do you find out if that's true, Tad?
What if they don't say yes?
Well, let's just assume, Tad, so that I can make my point. Let's just assume they all say. They say yes. How do you find out?
I can tell by what questions they ask me.
Okay. What else? What's that? Test. Thank you. Thank you, Liz. Yes, thank you, Ted. Test. The examination, you know, you can say you studied. The examination says whether you studied or not. It comes out. It's going to be evident. Do you want to experience eternal life? Why did Teresa read the Ten Commandments today? What does that have to do? What in the world does that have to do with eternal life and experiencing it? Well, actually, it has everything to do with it. You see, this young man asked Jesus the wrong question. And he asked the wrong question. What did he ask? He asked Jesus, how can I possess eternal life? And he asked that wrong question because he has a wrong concept of what eternal life is. Why are you asking me about keeping the good? There is only one who is good. You're asking the wrong question. And then he says something. If you want to enter that life, if you want to enter eternal life, if you want to experience eternal life, keep the commandments. Which ones? The young man says back to him. Which ones? And Jesus said, the one that says. Do you see that in your scripture? The young man says, which ones? Jesus counters and says, the one. The one that says something about you. You must not kill. You must not break marriage. You must not steal. You must not lie. You must honor your father and mother. And then he tells us the one. Jesus looks at all of those commands that he just said as one command, tied up in one thing. What's the one command? You must love the other person the way you love yourself. Now, here's where you get your pencils out. You see on the back on there, it says up above, want to enter that life? Do you see that? It's about four sentences down. Want to enter that life? Circle that phrase. Just circle that phrase. Then you go down and you see you must love the other person the way you love yourself. We're in Matthew 19, 16 through 22. You see that phrase? You must love the other person the way you love yourself. Circle that. Now watch this. This is very interesting. You want to experience eternal life? Draw an arrow from the top one to the bottom one. Draw a line, an arrow. Jesus says back to him, and Jesus says to us, when we say to him, and I think you're all interested in eternal life, I think that is man's ultimate quest. Do you want to enter, and Jesus says eternal life is a journey, not a possession. We talked about that last week. He asks the wrong question. Jesus draws him back to the right question. He says, and Jesus answers. He says, and Jesus says something else. If you want to enter that life, if you want to do... Do you want to experience life right now? An experience of living right now that will last forever. An experience of living right now, get this, that is stronger than death. An experience of living that has such high quality that it will never end. And do you want to experience that right now, today, starting now? Does that sound interesting to everybody? Because that's the answer that he gives back here. And he tells him how to do it. And he tells us how to do it. Keep the commands. Which ones? But Jesus says back to him, the one. The one that says something about you more than any other command. Here's the examination. The one that says, whether you have a right relationship with God or not. The one that concretely shows you've entered eternal life. The one, here's where it gets interesting. Not only shows concretely that you've entered eternal life, that you're on the journey, it also allows you to experience eternal life right now. Did you get that? There's a command out there that shows something about you. Here's the examination. And it also is the experience. It's the examination and it's the experience. A right relationship with God overflows into a right relationship with other people. Ten Commandments. You know them? The first four commandments that Teresa read today are something that you can claim. Tad's question, are you studying? My question to you, God's question, Jesus' question to this young man, why did he skip right to these commands? He says, if you want to experience eternal life, keep the commandments. He skips the first four commandments. Do you notice that? And he goes right to 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 5th. Okay, now put your thinking caps on. I know I got some theologians in here. Why would he skip those top commandments and go right to these middle commandments? Are the top four commandments not important? What are the top four commandments? Number one command. What is it? That's right. I'm the Lord that brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. Number one. Number two, don't have any idols. Don't bow down to any idols. Don't make any idols. Number three, don't misuse my name. Don't misuse our relationship. Don't take my name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day. What does that mean? Remember the Sabbath day. When was the first Sabbath day? Creation, right? Genesis chapter 1, first Sabbath day. What are we to remember? What are we to think about when we remember the Sabbath day? We're to meditate on his creative genius. We're to think about who he is. We're to remember what he's done. Those are the first four commandments. Do you keep them? I have no way of knowing whether you keep those. You have no way of knowing whether I keep those. I can say and claim that I keep those commandments, and so can you. I can claim devotion to those first four commandments. Yes, I can say there's no other God. I can say I don't have idols. I can say I don't misuse our relationship. And I can say, yes, I meditate on his wonders and his works. I remember the Sabbath day, and that keeps it holy, and that keeps him holy in my mind. I can claim that. It's an internal thing. It's an internal reality. It's an internal environment. Agreed? Just like you can say, yes, I've studied. I've done the unseen things. I'm at home in my private room, and I'm doing studying. And students can tell Tad that they're doing that. And you can tell one another that we're claiming the devotion to the first four commandments. But the last six commandments are seen, aren't they? The last six commandments, you got to show. What Jesus is saying here, if you keep the commandments that show you have a relationship with God, you've entered into eternal life. How do you keep those commandments? How do you not murder? How do you not break marriage? How do you not steal? How do you not lie? How do you honor your father and mother? How do you not covet? What is the foundation? The foundation for that is that you keep the first four commandments. And what will be the result in your life? What will happen if you keep those first four commandments? What is the one thing? What do we find out? We find out that it is you will love the other person in the same way that you love yourself. Keep the commandment that says something about you. When you love the other person in the same way that you love yourself, it is the test of whether you've kept the first four. John says in his epistle, 1 John, the quote, if you love God, if you have a relationship with God, you will love people. You will show that love, and you will be a loving person. He says the one who says they love God and doesn't love a person, doesn't love the other, is a liar, and God's love is not in him. The man questions Jesus. You know, right now I'm disappointed. I'm going to be immediate. I'm disappointed because I'm not doing a good job of explaining this, and I realize it. And it is a very powerful concept that the Holy Spirit really wants you to grasp. So I'm going to go off text right now, and I'm just going to talk about this issue. And thank God that I have a godly wife, because, you know, my wife helped me so much with this concept. Do you want to experience eternal life? What do we find out? It comes down to one thing. Isn't that interesting? It comes down to love. It comes down to loving the other person and loving the other person the way you love yourself. Something happens. Something happens between you and another person. When you love them, it is the test of whether you have eternal life. But here's the most important thing. It is the experience of eternal life. Loving the other person, Jesus says, is how you experience eternal life now. How you grasp it now. You know what happens in my life? When I'm not loving the other person, and I'll explain the other person in a minute. When I'm not loving the other person, you know what I can draw a direct line to in my life? I can draw a direct line right back to the first commandment. Because if there is no other God before me, I will, as a consequence of that right relationship with God, I will love the other person. When there's another God in my life, small g instead of capital G, that all breaks down. The Ten Commandments are dominoes. If the first commandment goes, all the other commandments fall. Nothing follows after that. When there's another God in my life, myself, small g, I'm not loving. I can trace it directly back to that. And I do not experience eternal life. What are your most wonderful experiences? Relationships. What are the best relationships? A loving relationship. What happens during that? What's better than that? Nothing. It's eternal life. That's the quality that Jesus is looking for. That's the quality that God gives us. And here's the wonderful thing about eternal life. This young man wanted to possess it. He's asking Jesus, how do I grasp this and how do I own it? And what does Jesus do? He keeps drawing the man back to another issue. He says to him, basically, in his answer, you're asking the wrong question because you have the wrong concept about eternal life. And we find out that when we experience eternal life, who benefits? Who benefits? Here's God's economy. Others. Others. You experience an exhilarating existence that has such a high quality that it will last forever. It will defeat death. And you can experience it now. And when you experience that high quality of life, other people benefit. They are in, like I've said, the splash zone of your eternal life quality, your existence. When the man asked the question, he expected Jesus to give him some lofty philanthropic task that he was to do, didn't he? He said, "What good thing must I do so that I can have eternal life?" And Jesus answers pedantically, pedestrian. Love. Who would have guessed? Love. How do you love? An overflow of your relationship with God. Are you loving to other people in the same way you love yourself? Who's the most miserable people you know? I'll tell you who the most miserable people I know. And I fall into that category sometimes. When I'm taking care of myself, when I have another God, small g, in my life, the first commandment falls in my life. When I want to be God, and I stop loving the other person in the same way that I love myself, and I start taking care of myself. I have a dear lady in my practice. She comes in with a walker. You want to know an example of this? She's 85, 86 years old. An amazing woman. You want to see how this all plays out and works. She says, well, she goes to the Y 3 times a week, and that alone amazes me. And then she says, the other 3 days, I volunteer at a food pantry. She is the happiest, most content person that I have met. Always upbeat, always cheerful. She's experiencing eternal life quality. Why? Because she loves other people. Do you see this? When we love other people, something happens. There's an energy exchange. We experience something. And what you experience is eternal life quality. And when you do that, you benefit. Katie said last week, energized and alive. And the other person benefits. Because you draw them up into that. Tad and I had a conversation this week on the phone. It was special. It was spontaneous. It was about love. You see, eternal life quality of living, and it comes down to simply loving the other person. That's what it is. It's no more complicated than that. I'm reminded of the movie The Village, when the quote in there that the world moves for love. It bows before it in awe. And Tad and I had a conversation about Rosebud. See, Tad and Sarah have entered into a new dimension of knowledge, haven't you? A new dimension of knowledge. You know what that new dimension of knowledge is? I said to Tad, I said, now you get love, don't you? You understand it. What would you not do for that little girl? The answer is, I would do anything for her. How do you feel when you do something for that little girl and there's a love exchange between you? Is there anything better than that? No. A new dimension of knowledge. That's eternal life. Where we are loved and we love in turn. And when we do that, it concretely, now get this, when you keep that one commandment, Jesus says, the one that says something about you, the one that shows whether you've entered eternal life, the one that shows whether the first 4 commandments are a reality in your life, and when you do that, you experience eternal life. Don't you have flashes of that now? Don't you have glimpses of it when you're in that kind of relationship with somebody? What's better? I say, people say, what do you like to do? I said, there's nothing I'd rather do than just spend an evening with my best friend, my wife. That's an exchange of love where something ethereal happens, something chemical happens, There's an energy thing that happens. And where do you feel the most content, the most safe when you're in that kind of loving relationship? How do I possess eternal love? You're asking the wrong question. It's not something you can possess. It's something that you can experience. How do I experience it? Well, you keep the commands. Okay, which ones? But Jesus said back to him, the one. The one that says something about you. In fact, the one that says everything about you. Whether you keep the first four commandments. This is helpful for me. Maybe it will be for you. You know where the Ten Commandments are? Genesis? No. Exodus? Yes. What chapter? 20. Where are they also? Deuteronomy? Which chapter? 5. Listen, God's people. Keep the first four commandments, and the other six will be an automatic overflow from your life. And the only commandment, the first commandment, the one that makes all the other ones fall into place, what is the God in your life? Is it capital G or is it small g? Because you can come to church every Sunday, read your Bible, and still have another God in your life. Who's the other person? Who is the other person? The other person is the person that each one of you have been given. You have each been given the other person to love. What does the other person mean? You've been given a person to love that needs you. You've been given the other person, someone different than you. They're other than you. It's easy, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, to love those who love you. It's easy to love those who are like you, who think like you, have the same belief system as you. He said, that's easy, didn't he? But then he turns it around. He says, let me tell you what real love is. He said, you love your enemies. You love the other. You love the person that doesn't think like you. You know, the only way you can do that is if you keep the first commandment. You know why? Because I don't have to be deciding whether that person deserves my love. I don't have to decide if they're doing everything that they should do that I think they should do, because the minute I think that, the first commandment falls and I put myself as God, I will be the one to decide whether they deserve love or not. Love the person that is other than you, the person that needs you, the person that is difficult to love, the person that depends on you loving them, that can change their life. And here's the cool thing about it. You experience eternal life quality when you do that. Keeping the commandments that Jesus lists here is the examination of whether you've entered eternal life, and it is also the way you are allowed to experience eternal life. Is that crystal clear? Did I make that clear, or is it confusing? You want to experience eternal life? Let's make it simple. Love the other person the way you love yourself. How do you do that? A right relationship with God. How do you do that? Internal adherence to the first four commandments. How will that show up in your life? You won't murder. You won't break marriage. You won't steal. You won't lie. You will honor your father and mother, and you will not covet. That's the ones that show whether you've been adhering to the first four. That's what this is about. And it benefits others. But the young man said, watch this. Before I go on to that, you know, I struggle with this. It's easy for me to love like people. It's easy for me to do that. I think it is so key for us to understand that the person that I'm presented with every single day, and I know that person changes every single day, and I know that when I go into my work that I'm presented with a person, an other, someone different than me, someone that I don't even agree with, that if I want to experience eternal life quality, I will love that person. And when I love that person, the benefit flows, the yin and the yang, the splash zone occurs. I experience eternal life quality. They experience eternal life quality. They experience love from someone who really shouldn't be loving them, and that draws them up into that eternal life. Do you see this? How many opportunities have I missed? How many times have I not loved the other person because the first commandment has fallen in my life? When I'm adhering to God, capital G, as the God of my life, loving the other person becomes natural, becomes an overflow, just happens for me. Effective relationships are one-to-one. Would you not agree with that? Effective relationships are always one-to-one. Jesus makes that a singular thing. He says, you love the other person, singular. I'm thinking of Karl Marx. You know who that is? I'm sure you do. Karl Marx is the father of communism. Karl Marx was all about the big ballyhoo that he made was taking care of the masses, right? Taking care of the downtrodden and the poor and the masses. There was a book published about Karl Marx by a man named, strangely enough, named Isaiah. Not that Isaiah. If you don't know, Isaiah was dead before Karl Marx came. But this man named Isaiah published a book about Karl Marx, and he said, you know, he talked about that and wrote about taking care of the masses, but his individual personal life, he had disdain for the individuals. He treated the individuals poorly. You know, you think you have to have a big ministry? Let me ask you a question. Can you not see how exponential, how logarithmic it would be if each one of us loved one other person? Who is here at Newville because of you? What if there was one person here at Newville because of a one-to-one relationship that you have with them? Can you not see what would happen? You look at Jesus' ministry, he started out. It was a very one-to-one relationship kind of thing. You have a ministry. You're going to be presented with the other person. Every one of us are. Who needs you? Who needs you to love them, regardless? And you love them only because the first commandment is a reality in your life. I'm reminded of another story, and you know my political leaning, so that's no secret, but the former Senate Majority Leader, again, makes a big ballyhoo about taking care of the middle class and the common man, okay? There was a museum in Washington, D.C. About a year ago, and he was presiding over it, and he was standing up on a platform. And the crowd of people were waiting to come in the museum doors. And he thought that he was what's called off mic. You know what that means? You know, sometimes they'll catch a politician or someone saying something. They think that this isn't on. The mic's not on. So they say things that they wouldn't normally say. They wouldn't want to be heard. And they opened the doors, and the crowd of people, the masses that he ballyhooed he was so concerned about, come crowding into the museum. And he thought he was off mic, and he says to his staff, they smell bad. You see, it's easy to love the masses when they remain an ill-defined, amorphous entity without personal idiosyncrasies, isn't it? It's easy to love en masse. You know, the saying is, when I started practice, it used to be the joke that private practice would be great if it just weren't for the individual patients. You know, and there's a lot of truth to that, because it's easy to say, yes, I care about the masses, yes, I want to take care of a lot of people, but doesn't it get tough when you have to deal with the personal idiosyncrasies of personalities? Isn't that a bit of a struggle? That's where it gets real, doesn't it? And it's easy to claim one thing. And Jesus says, you know, don't claim that you care for the individual common man. He says, just take care of the one person. The one person that has been given to you today, the one person that's going to be given to you tomorrow. I think of you that are in healthcare. I think of Katie and Teresa and Vika and Inga. You know, you're dealing with people every day that need you to love them, even though they're different. And the important thing about that is that when that happens, something intangible occurs between you and them. There's an eternal life quality. You want to know what eternal life looks like and feels like? Do you want to experience it now? Do this. Love the other person. It comes down to that. And that is when we experience the closest thing we can possibly have this side of eternity, this side of what eternal life is going to be like. But this young man didn't like that question, didn't like that answer, did he? But the young man said to him, "I have cherished all of these commands. What am I still lacking?" The minute he said that to Jesus, what does Jesus know about him? He hadn't experienced those commands. He hadn't experienced eternal life quality. You know, when a few years ago, we had a young couple come here to visit one Sunday. And I do expositional preaching, as you know. Expositional preaching. I, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, expose, that's expositional, expose what the Scripture is saying. And I do that. I do not do topical preaching. And on the way out, she says to me, is the only thing you do expositional preaching? And I said, yes, that's the only thing I do. Well, they never came back. I did a little experiment yesterday, and Teresa says, what do you do with the phone book? Well, I was looking through the phone book, and I was looking at some of the advertisements for churches. All the things that they offer, all the programs that they have. You see, this young man is saying that. He says, what else? I've already done that. What else? Well, if you had done that, if you truly had done that, you wouldn't even ask what else. There's nothing deeper than Scripture. There's nothing more exhilarating than eternal life quality. There's nothing more exhilarating than loving the other person. And his question says to Jesus, you haven't experienced it. Do you see this? Years ago, I taught a Sunday school class somewhere else. And I was doing an exposition of the New Covenant. If you know anything about me, you know I'm a bit of a nut on the New Covenant. And I remember the day that happened to me. I was sitting in a license renewal seminar on radiology. And I think it was Illinois or something like that. And we were looking at x-rays up on this screen. And I'm very good at reading x-rays, so I was able to check out a little bit because I already knew what they were talking about. And it was during that, when I was looking at this x-ray, I remember the moment that the Holy Spirit dropped into my heart, started teaching me about the New Covenant during that x-ray seminar. Who would ever guess that? And ever since, and that was like 10, 12 years ago, ever since then I've just been on the New Covenant and the Old Covenant. And it's like Teresa pointed out to me, I think it was who is it that wrote the book, The Two Covenants? Andrew Murray. He says, if you understand the New Covenant, it's like bread to a starving man. And so I was teaching a Sunday school class about the covenants, about the New and the Old Covenant. And I was talking to a couple in the class after I taught for a couple of Sundays, and she says, I was excited about the covenant, and I was talking about it. You see, Jesus is excited about this concept, and he's talking to this young man about it. And he can tell that this young man's not catching the excitement. And I remember I said, I was talking to this couple, and the woman says to me, I'll never forget it, she says, okay, we got it about the New Covenant. Now would you move on? And you know, you know what that told me? Yes, exactly. The minute she said that to me, I knew she didn't have it. Because you see, if you get it, it is like bread to a starving man, and you can't get enough of it. What Jesus is saying to him, he keeps drawing this young man back to God, back to the Scripture, back to the relationship with God. And because this young man, what he says to him, oh yeah, Ten Commandments, yeah, I've got that. Sermon on the Mount, yes, I understand that. Lord's Prayer, yes, I've heard that. Romans chapter 8, got it. Revelation 21, 22, yes. Psalm 23, yes. I know it. What else? See, doesn't that question betray the fact that he didn't get it? Let me tell you what can happen with Scripture and what happens with I know, many of you. And what Jesus expected to happen here. If you experience eternal life quality by a deep relationship with God, and you have the first commandment as a reality in your life, and you sink deeper and deeper into Scripture, you cannot get enough of it. Do you experience that? If you ask the question, what else, you don't have it. And the minute this young man asked Jesus that question, he knew he didn't have it. People say to me, what do you do at Newville? What are your programs? Well, very simple. I can answer that question very simply. Scripture. Scripture? Well, what else? I've had people say, well, what else do you do? See, what does that say to you? Have we come so far as God's people and as a church that we need the what else? The answer is, yes, we have. You know, this young man and many people, and this is so contemporary, they want the church experience. They don't want the relationship experience. They want the church experience, and there's a big difference. I saw one of the ads yesterday in the phone book. It says, they come to church. We do church differently. That's exactly it. We're not here to do church here at Newville. We're here to be the church. We're not here to do the church experience. We're here to potentiate your experience and your relationship with the One. And if you have that, you can't get enough of it. You will sink into Scripture deeper and deeper and deeper. Have you had that experience with Scripture? Or is Scripture pedantic and boring to you? Is Scripture old hat? Do you have to say what else? When you look for a church, do you look for the programs that they offer? Oh, I saw a list of programs that they had. On and on and on and on. We do this, we do that. You know what wasn't mentioned? What wasn't mentioned? Scripture. We need the church experience. Because the church experience gives people a quick fix of power and pleasure, and it's much less demanding than the experience of a relationship with God. The minute he asked that question, because so what does he claim? He claims to Jesus, yeah, I've got that. Yeah, I've cherished those. Yeah, I know about that. Yeah, I keep the commands. No, you don't, because you never would ask what else. One of the hymns, I asked Liz if she knew. It's I love to tell the story. It's a hymn in our book. You know, like I said, the old hymns to say it all. And in that hymn, I love to tell the story. There's a line in there that says, I love to tell the story for those, listen to this, for those who know it best seem hungry and thirsty to hear it like the rest. Do you hear that? This never becomes old. This never. And then the hymn goes on to say, and when I go to glory and we sing the new song, I will find out that it is the old story that I knew all along. Get excited about Scripture. Experience eternal life quality. Love the other person who needs you, who is difficult to love. Have a one-to-one relationship with them, born from your love of Scripture, born from your relationship with God. And when you do that, Jesus promises me, you will experience what eternal life is. You're on the journey. And it comes down to love. The church experience. You know what else this tells me? You know, do you see Jesus' answer to this young man? Because he knew when he says, what else? Like the woman said to me, move on. Like the young lady said to me, is that all you do, expositional preaching? I mean, is that all there is? Is it just Scripture? It can't just be that. There's got to be something else. It can't be a detailed exposition of Romans chapter 8. By the way, if you get into Romans chapter 8, you won't get out. You're just going to get stuck there. If you understand what Paul is saying there, you will not be able to get out of that chapter. You know what else it tells me? He says to the young man, go sell everything you've got. Go sell it all. Give it to the poor. Because I can tell by your answer, what else? Move on. Is that all you do? I can tell by that answer, you have another God in your life that is blocking God, capital G, from being God of your life. And what was it for this young man? And what is it for me? What is it for you? For him, it was possessions. This tells me something about eternal life, that Jesus understands eternal life to be of... I'm going to experience this today. I'm going to experience eternal life quality today. And it must be so good and so great that Jesus would deign to tell this young man, sell everything. Because eternal life is that good. That once you experience it, your possessions won't mean anything to you. That's what's standing in your way. That's what's blocking you from experiencing eternal life. It's your stuff. Get rid of it. Sell it all, and then live a life following me. Now, I'm not suggesting, nor is Jesus suggesting to you and me, that that is what we need to do. But you know what you need to do. I know what I need to do. I know that I, thankful for my godly wife who helps me with this concept, I need to draw a line right back to the first commandment in my life. Is there another God that I am bowing down to that blocks me from experiencing loving the other person that is difficult for me to love, that is different than me, yet needs me to love them? What's blocking it in my life? But when the young man, last sentence, but when the young man heard this teaching, he went away heartsick because he had many things. And I would say to this young man, we don't know the outcome of this. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know if it sunk in. We don't know if he sold everything. But Jesus follows up right after this when he talks about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the heavenly realm. But I would say to this young man, when he heard this teaching, he went away heartsick. Not to worry. Not to worry. There are plenty of other teachings out there. Plenty. With a lot of different programs, with a lot of different things you can experience, the church experience. He'll find it if he's looking for it. But do you know what a disservice that does to these people who are sitting in these churches? We were up at Barnes & Noble Friday night. And, of course, one of this famous televangelist has a book up there. And the book is all about how to subvert the first commandment. How to have you be the God, small g, in your life. That's what his books are about. If you glom on to other teaching besides Scripture, if it's not like bread to a starving man to you, if there's something else that diverts your attention, you are depriving. What does John say? John says you're a liar. What does Jesus say? You're depriving yourself of the most exhilarating human experience. Loving other people. It comes down ever and always to that. And when there's another God in your life, it blocks it. If there's other teaching, it blocks it. If there are church programs, it blocks it. If you're doing the church experience, it blocks it. He draws him back to God. He keeps pointing to God. He keeps saying it's the relationship. Effective relationships, one-to-one. We love them even though they are other than us. That's eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing on this message. I pray, Lord, that our relationship with you would be such that our relationship with others is right. Amen.